All right. I'm going to start this meeting. Sorry for the delay of 2 minutes, but I do want to start with some bad news. Unfortunately, you're stuck with me today. Randy Howard was not able to make it, so Vice Chairman is stepping in, and so please be kind. And we'll see if we can get through this together. So if everyone...
calling you rookie or anything.
Right, so, yeah. Right. If everyone will rise, we'll join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we will take the roll.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Howard is absent. Trustee Quiatek?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
And Trustee Labai?
Here.
Do we have any public participation?
No requests.
All right. We'll move into the consent agenda. Any comments on the consent agenda? A motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's a motion, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, information only. Tom, do I turn that over to you?
I mean, you just put it out.
I can.
Yeah.
So, in your packet is agreements that are information only that... are related to...
They fall under the $195,000.
Yeah, they're under the threshold of $190,000. So they're just information. And then B is surplus donations. And that also is just information only.
Okay. We'll move into your time seamlessly. Dr. Labasa.
All right, very good. Well, it's been a busy time since we last met, and so I'm pointing to a couple things for you. At your table is the Resource Development Annual Report. So if you can take that home with you and look at it, and it's an impressive document. You know, we've certainly have capitalized on the grant opportunities that have been out there the last several years, so you can see everything we have been managing in terms of grant funds. So that's for your information there. Second item I have, well, before that, I'm going to recognize a group, a couple other things. You know, we were pleased to host the Daytona Beach Policeman's Ball. We honored Gail Lemron and the Ritchie family. So it was nice that we hosted them at the Husseini Center. I participated in a healthcare roundtable up in Palm Coast. That was put together by the Chamber to talk to them about what they're thinking up there in Palm Coast and what we can possibly provide. As you know, we did add nursing a few years ago, but there might be a couple other potential programs that we're looking at to add there. And there was Jacksonville University was there, as well as University of North Florida was there. So, you know, they have this desire to create this healthcare niche up there, so we're part of that conversation. We had our kickoff meeting, and thank you, Gary, for joining to just get input from stakeholders on the amphitheater up there at Palm Coast to look at the enhancements there. So I think that was a good meeting, and classes started Tuesday, and I'm happy to report we're sitting at about 5-6% ahead. Date to date, so that's good news. So we should start to see that in our reports. And that's kind of my general update. So the next update is I'd like to recognize a group of people, students, who I might have mentioned this in just a prior update, but we participated in a cybersecurity competition statewide. I think I might have mentioned that, and we took first place in that statewide competition. So got a little something to read here. in a historic win, the DSC Falcon SEC team took first place in a statewide competition, beating 18 teams from 13 other Florida State colleges, competing to solve a phishing attack and a malware analysis. The team made up of four students in our cybersecurity program and coached by faculty member Patrick Filanowski completed the test with a perfect score in a record-setting time of 1 hour and 15 minutes. The November 4th competition was also the inaugural use of the DSC Training Security Operations Center at the ATC. Thanks, everyone, including DSC's IT department, Anita Paul, Professor Tim Pentello, and professors and department chairs of cybersecurity classes who helped make this a success. At this time, I'd like to ask the Bachelor of Science in Information Technology students, Caleb Pentello, Craig Sava, if I'm saying that right, and AS in Networking Services Technology Program students, Jess Harness and Brian McGrath, to join me to receive their certificate from the Florida College System Chancellor, who organized this competition and gave them these nice certificates. So if you guys can come on and join us and give them a round of applause. Championship team.
Yay. Way to go, Falcons.
That's right.
On three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Great. Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations. Awesome effort. And I was in Tallahassee shortly after that. And our
that's
was
pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. 115.
Way to represent. Thank you. Congratulations.
Right. Yay.
Yeah, I got in trouble too, Randy.
I'm glad to see it, honestly.
Sorry.
All righty. So that's you know, a great recognition, and you know, it's you know, we compete in everything we do. You know, we're great nursing pass test, NCLEX test, which I don't know if I shared that, but
yeah,
we
you mentioned.
Did I share it last time? That one just came out, actually. So I'm not sure
maybe on a
press release. Yeah. So our NCLEX, which is the exam to become a nurse, we had a 99.1% pass rate. So just completely blowing away the competition and state, you know, averages and things like that. And also, Dr. Lockwood shared with me recently that our graduation rate has, you know, it's hard to, you know, 99.1% pass rate. While, if you remember, we've expanded the program quite a bit over the last few years, Palm Coast, now Deltona. So it's hard to expand and always keep that high standard. But our graduation rate has also jumped like 30% in the last few years. So so we're in the 70-some-odd percent. 73%.
In
the two-year period. It goes up higher if you account for an extra year, but and that's phenomenal. So so glad we're, you know, we're doing our part to help Kelly out, and
both so, with nursing and cyber text.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. So
thank you.
Anyhow, it's great to you know, do that important work for our community. So some good news there. And then also just a shout out to our very own Lloyd Freckleton, who was recognized in the Observer. As his time as a veteran, as well as his work in the correction system. So, Lloyd, shout out to you for that. So, good job there.
Great.
And that concludes my update.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Just a little comment on the recognition of those students in the IT. Having been in a couple of rubs with cybersecurity issues, I can tell you they're never resolved in 2 hours and 15 minutes. So that record time is more impressive than anything. the fact that they won, but in that kind of time, where time is not on your side in cyber attacks and, you know, breaches. So that's very, very impressive. So great job. Wow.
Yeah.
Strategic plan.
And the strategic plan is the next thing on my list.
On the screen.
And, so, again, this is a culmination of a good year plus work, which included trustee input and guidance and a lot of surveying. And with all that, we are now ready to present to you Leading the Way, the, from July 2024 to June 2027 strategic plan. So with that, I would need a motion.
So moved.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Great.
Very good. So that concludes my.
All right. Marty, I think you're up for finance.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year, trustees. Good to be back. And we're going to start with the finance report. This report's through year-to-date through December 31st, 2023, exactly the midway point of our fiscal year. As you can see, we've now collected $21.5 million, right at 75% of our tuition and fee revenue. I've collected $27.2 million, or 42% of our state revenues, $2.5 million, or 43% of our other revenue sources, and $2.4 million, 100% of the board-approved transfers at the onset of the year. So through total, in total, we've collected now $53.6 million, or 53% of our operational budget of $101.5 million. Going back real quick, I like to point this out at this time of the year, you know, with our state revenue sources, they're split into program funds, our regular appropriations, and then the lottery aspect. And that lottery piece doesn't start kicking in, meaning they don't pay us until February is when that starts. So that's the reason the 42% isn't closer to 50%. We'll start getting those payments in February, and then you'll see that bump up throughout from February to June, and it'll catch up and be right on target. As is with the case every year, they don't do that, release those funds until February. Okay, taking a look at the operating expenditures year to date through December, we've now expended $32.3 million, or 43% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $16.3 million, or 68% of our current expense budget. And of that amount, we've realized $10.6 million of actual expenditures, and the other $5.7 million is still tied to open purchase orders and is encumbered. Moving down, we've obligated $1.3 million of our capital outlay budget. That's 48%. Again, of that amount, actual expenditures are $639,000, and the remaining $695,000 is open encumbrances. So through December 31st, we've now obligated $49.9 million, or 49% of our overall budget. And if you take the encumbrances out and just look at expenditures, we've expended $43.5 million, or 43% of the budget. So we're in good shape on both sides of the equation. You know, at this point, at the halfway mark, expenditures are running under budget, which we like to see, and revenues are right on target. Okay, shifting over to their operating fund balance. Again, this is more or less stationary until we wind up the year. So we started the year with an $18.2 million roughly in fund balance reserves. Of that, we have the state required reserve, which is $5.5 million, board designated $1.6 million, and then unallocated reserves of about $10.2 million. And lastly, $814,228,000 of year-end, last year-end encumbrances and rollover designations. So through the projection through December 31st would be the $15.4 million, which is about 21%. All right, taking a look at year-over-year, our budget to actual, of our operating fund. You can see very consistent from a revenue receipt standpoint. We've collected 53% of our overall budget through December 31st this year. And last year at the same time, we had collected 54% of the budget. Okay, this is our three-year analysis of tuition and fee revenue. As Dr. Labasso stated earlier, we're running about 6% up in tuition and fees in the spring, which is a great sign. I think we ended the fall just roughly over 2%. And if you look at my numbers here, it pretty much speaks to that. We have about this year we're about $1.45 million more in tuition and fee revenue through December 31st than we were last year. And doing the math from a percentage standpoint, that's about 7.2%. So, again, my report cuts off December 31st. We're a little bit into January now, so we you know, through December, that spring was a little bit higher. We've come down a little bit. So, again, this will correct itself moving forward, but still solid numbers. As you can see, we budgeted 4% up from our actual tuition and fee revenue from last year. So, with that in sight, I think we have a good chance of hitting that projection of 4% overall. Let me go back one second, because if you did look in your packet and you kind of did a similar comparison of current revenue, tuition and fee revenue to prior year, you'll notice you won't be able to match up the $20 million from the prior year, $20,072,918. And the reason being is the number in your packet includes a large adjustment that we made relative to lost tuition and fee revenue that was recorded against the HERF, the federal stimulus HERF funds. We were allowed to recuperate lost revenue. And before we got any guidance on where to record that exactly from a revenue standpoint, we had stuck it into tuition because that's what it was related to. So December is when that entry was made, December of last year. So again, we picked it up in your numbers in your packet. I think it was May of last year when we got further guidance and we backed it out of tuition revenue and put it in another revenue source. So it was corrected. It'll balance out as our reports, you know, we get further out and get closer to May and June's report, they'll start to match up again. But I just wanted to point that out, that this is true student fee paying tuition and fee revenue, whereas the other number includes nearly $1 million of recuperated losses, lost revenue from the HERF monies. Hopefully that makes sense. All right, moving over to our budget to actual on our expenditure side, you can see that in the current year, we've now expended 43% of our personnel budget. At the same time last year, we had expended 44%. We've obligated 68% of our current expense budget. Last year, we were at 73%. And then we've obligated 48% of our capital outlay budget, and we were right at 50% last year. So pretty consistent on the expense side as well. Okay, shifting away from our operating fund and over to our kind of our Fund 7 capital projects and our Fund 7 accounts here. This slide, you know, as I always show it, is our major funding sources in our Fund 7. Just a quick rundown, the student capital improvement fees is the first funding source, our board designated reserves. Got a sub-account there of the board-designated reserves that were previously designated by the board for deferred maintenance projects. A little bit left on our SunTrust loans, capital outlay and debt service funds. We have our PICO funds, state general revenues, which were primarily the big deferred maintenance funding that came through last year. It was federal, passed through the state. Our portion was close to $13.4 million. And then the last account is really a sub-account of the student capital improvement fees. Again, it was previously allocated by this board for deferred maintenance. And to summarize that slide is right here. We started the year with $62.4 million in our Fund 7 reserves. We've received about $7.9 million to date. And then we've obligated another $19.3 million so far through December. Of that amount, we've truly expended $16.2 million, and we got just over $3 million in encumbrances. So the net fund balance per the 12/31 report would be the $51 million, and of that amount, we have almost $27 million committed to projects, and the other $24 million plus uncommitted at this point in time. So we're still sitting on a healthy reserves in our Fund 7. Okay, this is our major projects as defined as any project over $250,000. As you recall, a couple meetings ago, the board took action to bump that number up from $100,000 to $250,000. The only new project added since the last board report is the bottom one there, Green Center HVAC replacements. It's a project that met that threshold, and the expected completion date would be August 2024 for those HVAC replacements.
I'll note on that slide the multi-purpose field. June 24 is probably not going to actually take place. We're still we're making progress, but we're working with the city for rezoning. So we recently came into we got some comments from the city, so we're working with them, and hopefully that'll be moving forward here soon. But for the actual project to be completed by June, it won't happen. Hopefully it'll start, by around that time.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll adjust that date as we find out more and know more, maybe towards the latter part of the fiscal year. So all the 11 current projects that are in progress come in at an estimated total cost of $35.6 million.
Have you adjusted the the price or the projection of the multipurpose field because of the delay?
We have not done any formal adjustments. Right now, I know that project is set up for $2.8 million. And we,
probably the proper question would be, how do you think the delay will affect the price?
It's a good question. We'll have to put some, eyes on it and see how that would impact. I'm hoping not too much because it's not a building per se, but, so hopefully there's not been a whole lot of escalation in that type of work, but I'm sure there's some. But we'll get a better handle on that as we get closer. And to your question, and obviously as that gets closer and we get, designs and we'll have a better handle, we may have to come back for an adjustment.
And if you recall, we did fund that project as it's a multi-purpose field, more in kind of athletics related, out of our Fund 3 auxiliary. So we transferred that money a year or two ago from our Fund 3 auxiliary over to Fund 7. So it's just parked there, ready to go once we can get through some of the governmental legal issues. My last slide here is our completed projects through the fiscal year. So far, we just have the DeLand parking lot lighting project. You remember it was completed in September in 2023. It was initially set up with a budget of $250,000, but it actually came in much under that. So we expended $104,000 on the project, which was a good thing. And that concludes the financial report through December. I'll take any questions or comments on that if you have any.
Excellent report. Any questions, comments?
Okay. My next item is an information item that we bring to the board each meeting, and that is our payments greater than $50,000 for both the November and December. And you'll see them up there. Nothing unusual. And okay, we'll now move right into facilities. We got a number of items on the agenda, And before I get started, I'd like to introduce our new Associate Vice President of Facilities, Mr. Alan Masters. Alan, if you'll stand up a minute. Alan just joined us a couple of weeks ago. We're thrilled to have him. You'll recall he replaces Chris Wainwright, who left us maybe 6 months ago. So we've been vacant there for a little bit, went out and advertised, re-advertised, and then we're able to land Alan. Alan comes us from Eastern Florida State College most recently, did about a year and a half there in a very similar role. So comes from a state college, knows the works, and done a good job there. And prior to that, about 13 years at the University of Florida in their facilities department. So we're glad to have Alan. I just want to introduce him to the trustees. And moving forward, Alan will be up here doing the facilities items, and I'll go back to just finance. All right. So our first item for facilities is approval of the architect design services contract for the training pavilion, tactical training pavilion, PT course, and driving pad. If you'll remember, back in November, we brought the final ranking of the architects to the board for approval. Since then, our college staff has negotiated the fee and contract with Spiesel Architectural Group. That fee amount came in at $424,695. The scope of the work's been reviewed by our FPAC committee, and we are seeking approval by this board for their contract and the fee amount as presented.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Like sign. Okay.
Thank you. Next item is the same project over on our DeLand campus, but this is for our construction management at-risk services, final rankings of the CMs. You can see we sent it out to 21 pre-qualified contractors. We had four submittals come back, and our selection committee ranked those firms, the top three firms. And as you can see, Charles Perry Partners was the top-ranked firm. This also went to our FPAC committee for review, and we are seeking board authorization to move forward into negotiations and to enter into a contract with our top-ranked firm, Charles Perry Partners.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. Just to touch on that just quickly, you'll also recall that Charles Perry Partners is also doing the firearms training center on our DeLand campus. So we feel this might be a benefit to have the same contractor out there doing this work, maybe from a cost perspective, won't have to do staging again, for instance. So we might realize some savings and some benefits from having them do both projects. Okay, next up is our Flagler Palm Coast campus Building 1 amphitheater improvements. This is approval of the CM at-risk contract for pre-construction costs only at this point. The CM that we chose, you approved the ranking at the last board meeting. The top ranked firm was DE Scorpio Corporation, and we are just seeking the board approval on the contract and the pre-construction fee amount of $35,000.
So moved.
Motion and second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign.
Okay. I believe this is the last facilities action item, and then we have a couple information items. So this is our approval of the architectural design services contract for the Arts and Sciences Hall renovation project on this Daytona campus. Again, on our November meeting, you approved the final ranking of the firms. And the, Hausman Architecture LLC was the chosen firm. We've now negotiated the fee and have a solid contract. The fee amount is $145,250, and we are seeking board approval of both the contract and fee amount as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved.
Thank you. Okay. The next two, as I mentioned, are information items. Both have to do with the new residence hall project. First one up is our additional services for the architectural and professional design firm, PQH. We've asked them to go out and do do drawings for both the four-story and five-story facility. So this would be adding the fifth floor. And since we increased the scope, it came at a fee of, you can see, $30,000. This went to our Housing Corporation board right prior to this meeting, led by Trustee Gary Lubai. That board approved this item. So I'm simply bringing that for your information. To put it in context, their overall fee for this project was upwards of $1.7 million. So we felt the $30,000 to do the additional fifth floor and have both sets of drawings ready to go for our contractor at the point we are ready to move that forward was beneficial and a very reasonable cost. Okay, and then the second item is our CM at risk contract, also on the student housing phase two project. If you'll recall, we selected Perry McCall back in September, I believe it was. This is simply their pre-construction fee and their contract, which was brought to the Housing Corporation board and approved there. So you can see the amount set forth was $60,500, included $5,000 of reimbursables. We'll once they get further into the project, we'll hone in on a GMP and true cost for the overall project. This is pre-construction only. And that is my final facilities item.
Any questions for Marty on facilities? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Academic affairs.
Good afternoon again, trustees, Dr. Lobasso, colleagues. I have three items in the agenda. Excuse me. The first one is about the approval of course deletion. And as part of College Policy 402, the establishment of instructional programs, classes, and labs, fees, each of the state colleges has to adopt, as part of the procedure for the preparation of the institutional catalog, a rule to ensure that courses which have not been taught for 5 years or less, if desired, are deleted from the catalog. Each institution should also notify the Office of the Statewide Course Numbering System to delete these courses. In coordination with the annual preparation of current college catalog 2023 and 24, the academic departments have reviewed the courses in the catalog and have identified the followings of either have not been taught for 5 years or less if desired. We follow a very strict process internally, not only for the college catalog revision, but also the curriculum committee. And with that, that page shows the course deletions that are proposed for you for your approval. So it is recommended that the District Board of Trustees approve the course deletions as presented, effective for the 2023-2024 academic year.
If anybody wants to step up and teach any of these courses, otherwise we'll entertain a motion. Yeah. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approved.
Thank you. The next item of the agenda is the approval of new courses. And that would be, attachment 21. So, again, policy 402 established that we can eliminate or add courses in our instructional programs as reviewed and recommended by the appropriate department person, then the AVP, Curriculum Committee, and then the Vice President of Academic Affairs. You see there in that box two courses that were the result of the response to the Senate Bill 366 approved in 2021, which established the agreement to create three distinct mathematics pathways, algebra through calculus, statistical reasoning, and mathematical thinking context. These pathways were incorporated into Rule 6A-10.024 in September of last year, and they will be effective for students entering, bless you, the college in the 2024-25 academic year and beyond. Rather than reading everything, I would ask to pass to the next page, and that's the third course addition about camera culture. And as you can imagine, the use of new technology calls for the creation and editing of digital content. So this is, you know, a very unique, a new course. And if approved, will place us into a small group. Only two other institutions in Florida have a similar course, St. Pete College and St. John's River State College. It is recommended then that the District Board of Trustees approve the new courses, MGF 2130, Mathematical Thinking, MGF 2131, Mathematics in Context, and PGY 2446, Camera Culture, effective fall 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Approved.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment on the math. One is, you know, I think pretty important because it creates three separate ways to get your degree versus not too long ago, if you didn't get through algebra, you didn't get through school. And I think it makes sense that now math is lining up to what your potential career is. So, you know, if you're going to be a no offense to marketing majors or communications majors, because I was one of them, but we don't need algebra. sorry, Andrea, former mathematical professor there. But, you know, versus giving, and Dr. Holmes back there as well. You know, that it just makes sense to give them math that is more appropriate to their career interests. So I like it.
Yes. Yes, thank you. The last item, attachment 22. This is for information only. It's a table with the cost of textbooks and instructional materials. I did a similar presentation last fall semester. Florida statute 1004.085 requires that each of the college in the system examine the cost of textbooks and instructional materials for all general education courses each semester. So what you have in there in that table, hard to read, but you can still read, I guess. Reports each of the courses here in the core curriculum and the textbooks used in each section of those courses now in the spring of 2024. Prices are from Follett and include retail, new and used, rental, new and used, digital, and subscription where applicable. Again, this is for information only.
Gary, you have any comment on that?
Just love to see it every time it shows up.
Absolutely.
We're doing a great job.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, trustees. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to enrollment management.
Good afternoon. All right, okay. As every year, I get to the joy of starting off the new year by coming to you and requesting the approval of the academic calendar. Academic calendar for 24-25 and 2025-2026. The dates were compiled by college faculty and staff through our academic calendar committee. And we like to do 2 years because it helps us plan out several things, including financial aid dates and things of that nature. So 2024-2025, classes will begin on August 26th and end on December 18th. Spring semester will begin on January 21st and go through May 8th. And then commencement ceremonies will be May 13th, 2025. You can mark your calendars. And then 2025-2026, we'll start classes on August 25th of 2025 and end them through end December 17th. Spring will be January 20th through May 8th. And then in 2026, we'll have commencement on May 12th. This year, it's Tuesday, May 14th. Just so you can have all the dates down. So Tuesday, May 14th, this year's commencement ceremony. So I ask for your approval for both those calendars.
Moved. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Like sign? Yeah, great. Mark those commencement exercises down on the calendar. I'm just saying it's a pretty big deal.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we have some time reserved for our constituent heads. So who's up first?
All right, we're going to start off with our rock star student, Gael Vitalin from SGA.
Oh, she's got a teammate.
Good afternoon. As he said, my name is Gael, and this is
Hi, guys. I'm Savinia Henderson. I'm the SGA vice president.
Okay, good. Come back up. There we go. So I would like to begin with a few updates we did last semester. We held the International Culture Fest. We hosted it. It was supposed to be outside, but we had to move it inside into the Lemron Center. We had roughly around 150 students. It was one of our biggest events for the semester, in my opinion. We had treats from Ghana. We had empanadas for the Latin region, shepherd's pie, oxtail and festival for the Caribbean regions. We also had students come in and perform a dance for them cultures. And I think the next slide is some pictures. So you can see some pictures from the event. The students really enjoyed this, and it was like, oh, like to see and celebrate their cultures as well. The next one is the annual tree lighting ceremony. This was SJ's second year hosting this event. It kicked off the 2023 holiday season. It was in the El Gale Lemron Center. We served light refreshments and personalized holiday treats. We had students from all third floors watching. It was a really large crowd, and I was just super excited to kick off the holiday season.
Right. Okay. And we also had the winter break celebration, which is really big. There's a lot of students out on campus because we have the big, the Appalachian slide. So that was really,
Alpine.
There it is. We had a lot of tables, the Wise Club, Vet Club, PTK. We had light refreshments there as well. And it was a great turnout. Okay. And now we have our upcoming welcome backs. Yesterday was our very first welcome back at DeLand. That was DeLand. I tried to attend that one, actually. This is off script, but I got lost on the road. I got stuck on some road. But our first one was back in DeLand. And then today was our new Smyrna welcome back. And I'm not sure.
We had a really good turnout, I've heard.
Tomorrow.
Next week, we have the Flagler campus welcome back as well.
Okay.
As you guys know, this is my last semester, both of ours last semester. So we are starting the election season very early so we could be able to bring in people and train them, you know, and let them get acclimated with what their positions would be for the next year. So we'll be doing the elections the week after spring break, March 19th and the 20th. So if you guys are on regional campuses and you want to get students involved, please let me know. I'm super excited to bring people in just to let them know what SGA is and get them involved on campus. We also have the Club Funding and Club Rush coming up in February. It's a biannual club funding where we let the students know, the clubs know that what the club's funding they have, how the work process goes, and all of that. We also have the Club Rush where the students are able to network with the clubs and see what 40 clubs we have on campus. A lot of people don't know what we have on campus and we offer. So I'm super excited to host this event and let students know what we have on campus. And then also we have the club banquet coming up. We this is one of our biggest events as well. Within the next few weeks, we'll have the menu, the layout, decorations finalized, and just so we could begin ordering and preparing for that and have the students be able to celebrate all their achievements throughout the year. And that's it. Oh, also, literally just before the meeting, we found out that PTK is then again another year, the 5-star chapter. So if you see a PTK member, say congratulations to them as well. That would be all from my report.
Great.
Great. Thank you. And presenting for Administrative Council is Anaris Inman.
All right, good afternoon to our trustees, our senior executive board, and guests. We are going to take a very brief walk down memory lane all the way back to December. In December, the council was able to hand sign nearly 500 holiday cards, and we delivered them to the Council on Aging for Volusia County. So that was very impressive. That was my first go around with that initiative. They gave us a nice shout out on Facebook. So again, I look forward to doing that next year. In January, in lieu of our in-person meeting, I encouraged all administrators to attend our spring planning session. So we will meet again February 14th. And I gave them a nice reminder about their evaluations. So you're welcome, HR. That's all the report I have for you today. Thank you all.
Great.
Great, thank you. And next up is John Penny for Career Employees Association.
Welcome. We had a table at the open house event, which was an amazing event, and thank you very much for that. At our table, we auctioned off 3 baskets for our student awards. We were able to collect $315 for that, so we were pretty excited there. And next month, we have our annual chili cook-off. I want to invite you all to that. It'll be on the 20th, so we're pretty excited to be bringing that back around again. That's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you, John. And for Faculty Senate, Paul Capps.
Good afternoon. Faculty Senate, the Faculty Senate Instruction and Learning Committee, under the leadership of Lee Kenyon, Dr. Elizabeth Barnes, and Richard Valaro, continue to host presentations and roundtable discussions related to artificial intelligence in the classroom and its use on various assignments. As we discussed at the last board meeting, how important it is that not only are we worried about academic dishonesty as it relates to artificial intelligence, we're also keyed in on beginning to use artificial intelligence and teaching our students how to use it as a tool, because we know it's going to be out there in the workplace. Our second big item that we've been, you know, kind of talking about recently, Faculty Senate meetings. Recent legislation has changed the judicial affair process for students who are accused of being either disruptive in class or seen as acting in a threatening manner, whether it's to faculty or other students. So Faculty Senate the faculty as a whole and Student Life are working together as partners in attempting to deal with these situations, focusing on communication. Dr. Ramos, Elijah Hauser, and Cisco Ortiz have made multiple presentations to the Faculty Senate on this matter. And Dr. Lakeisha Holmes hosted 2 different classroom management roundtables and discussions during spring planning that we just completed. Now, one thing, I do not want to give the board the impression that this is a rampant issue here at DSC. But it is an issue throughout the country, and it's something we've got to stay ahead of. So I want to thank Dr. Rinconis specifically for his quick and attentive response when we brought this concern to him. Again, mainly focusing on communication between student life and us, and he's coordinated and been a leader in that process. But again, I want to thank Dr. Holmes, Dr. Ramos, Elijah Hauser, and Cisco Ortiz for their efforts in working with us on this issue. Finally, coming up this February, I've invited Dr. Cheryl Cohen, who's our Dean of Online Studies, to come speak to Faculty Senate. This will be in a couple of weeks. The topic will be the college's peer review process for all of our online courses. As you can imagine, online instruction is evolving as fast or faster than ever, and the college is continuously adapting to meet this evolution. Dr. Cohen and the peer review committee, most of whom are faculty members themselves, are working with the entire faculty to make sure we maintain our nationally recognized status as an institution that provides some of the very best online instruction, not in just in Florida, but in the nation. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Paul. And last but not least is Gina Clark for professional counsel.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having us all here to help and give all of our reports. The professional council, we are excited. I got to share with the cabinet last week that we participated in the basket brigade, and we had a penny war, and I was shocked. I was really shocked. I had no idea what I was getting myself into because the week before it ended, we had got $150, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. I was really excited. And then as the next week began, and it came to an end, $762 and pennies. No, it wasn't all pennies, but it was a lot of pennies. And then, never done it before, so I've learned some lessons. We won't end it the day before the baskets are due because I had to take those pennies over to a different bank and pour it in the machines and get the money. And then I had to go shopping for $762 worth of items to put in the baskets. But we did get it done. And with the rain pouring all over us, we got it all loaded into the Falcon Hope Center, where we were able to pack 19 baskets for our community. And it was very richly rewarding, and we will do it again. Just might change a few things for the next time. But with that saying, everything we've done so far as a professional council, we have raised money. We have done food drives. We have worked with the homecoming committee and then the basket brigade. So we are actually starting a fundraiser, and the email will go out tomorrow. We're going to do a candygram for the Valentine's season to actually earn some money so that we can put it into something that we give back to our students and our maybe our faculty, who's doing such a great job. So that is all that I have for us for right now as we begin just getting back from the new year. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I also wanted to make one comment about something that was brought up earlier about the nursing and how well they did on that test. I have had a privilege to be sharing an office on the Deltona campus with a professor of ours. His name is William Arrington. And I want to tell you how richly blessed it was for me to be sitting in there as these students were coming in, and he was spending hours getting them ready. Anybody who walked in, getting them ready, and he was coaching them, and I actually had to comment to him, like, wow, what a great, and he was just offering hours of his time. So it is no wonder they're doing so great with having staff like that. So I just wanted to do a shout out to him because it was really special. All right, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. That concludes the constituent report. One quick comment, if I may, is you've seen flashes of the Deltona building on the screen there, and it's coming along nicely. I have a walk through scheduled on the 8th of February, I think, thereabouts. And hopefully it'll be completed in March as planned. And that will be the home of nursing, diagnostic sonography, machining and a new bookstore with a little grab-and-go food and things like that. So it's going to be a nice addition to the Deltona campus. So looking forward to that. And we'll keep you posted on a nice ribbon-cutting event that we'll plan for that.
Great. All right. Well, it says on the agenda that it's the board chair's update, but he's not here to give it. So actually, I do want to call attention to the board professional development opportunities on page 181 of your materials. Obviously, we get a lot out of that if we can bring it here. Betty Holness was wonderful about availing herself of those opportunities and I think brought some great perspective to this board. So first things first, I wish everybody a happy new year as we go to the midway point in the academic year. And then secondly, I wanted to say the legislative session is in full swing. We didn't talk about that today. That's fine. We are moving ahead with those objectives for the college, but be attuned to what's happening over there in Tallahassee. Everybody ought to be on pins and needles. So hopefully that will yield great results for Daytona State College. And lastly, I just want to say, listening to the constituent heads and your presentations, I'm telling you, I am filled with pride in being affiliated with Daytona State College. We thank you for what you do in advancing all of the things that you do for students and student education and the success of this institution. And it makes it a real point of pride to be on this board. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Dye.
Well, I appreciate it. I just shout out there to Lynn, the taskmaster that she is, and keeping everybody on time. And I asked if I could go to the restroom. She said no. So we had already spent too much time messing around. So truly, I do appreciate her because you know somebody's got to kick everybody in the tail and get them going. So thank you for that. I am encouraged. This is a great. As tough as it is, and a lot of the projects are going on, and so many different things happening, you know, it's great to be part of an efficient organization, and this one really does that well. And so, to all of you, congratulations! And it's I always feel like when I leave the room that I've grown a little bit. So, thank you for really enhancing my experience as well.
I really don't have anything to say, but thank you for being here. And I always maintain it's an honor and a privilege to serve this college. So thanks again.
Well, the three of you have said it so well. The only thing I want to add is, with my Halifax hat on, sure, but also just at least three of the four in the cyber competition, and Patrick, I don't work at Halifax right now. And then we've got this nursing testing incredible score. So, I mean, thank you from Halifax. But from the student perspective, I mean, we're changing lives. You all are changing lives and setting people out on such a remarkable journey that's interesting. And then we had the welding thing today, and I thought you know, my closest experience with welding is we used to have a trailable smoker because my husband was really into Texas barbecue and things would fall apart all the time and we needed to find a welder and I didn't know where to find a welder and finally we had to give it away. So just the fact that we get to have these kind of really neat immersive experiences that, you know, that there are people out in the world that have such specialty and such enthusiasm to teach these young people such a neat trade. So, again, to echo everybody, what a remarkable place to be, and thank you for all of you around this room that do what you do.
Well, in between meetings, I was talking to somebody that owns a site work company. I was telling her how I'm now welding trained, and I'm ready to go with my next career. Yeah. but being trained, that sort of thing. As I joked with a few people as I was walking up there, my favorite words are "no assembly required." So, but no, Tom, so glad to have your involvement with the health sciences efforts up there in Palm Coast, and you know, they constantly hear from me, or they get peppered with the marketing releases, like the one that was just out there the other day. I was pulling that up. You know, Forbes Advisor ranks Daytona State among the nation's best online RN BSN programs in new top 10 list. I mean, you think about something like that, you know, to have that attached to a Forbes list in a positive way like that, it's just amazing. And you know, the things that we are doing here continue to not only demonstrate the quality of our processes here and the way we, as Randy described it earlier, you know, how well we are ran, how efficiently we're ran, but also to the impact that we have on our local communities. And it's huge, and it's something to be very proud of. And last and not the least, textbooks.
Yes. I saved that for you. I knew it was coming.
It's great.
You know, if I may, one other update is if you get a chance, and Lynn can get you the schedule, our women's basketball team, very talented this year. You need to see them. Our men's basketball team on the course of, a repeat of last year. They're currently 15-0, I think. Ranked, I think, number two in the country.
When's their next home game? Saturday.
Saturday. So, really exciting to watch. The women's and the men both very good, and obviously, you know, the men hanging on to a undefeated season so far, and maybe it's even more. I think maybe it's 16 or 17-0, but they're on. They beat Miami-Dade the other day, which is always a nice W there. So anyway, if you get a chance, they're exciting to watch. And if you know, if you want, we can maybe coordinate a trustee day or something to go out and watch a game. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Great idea. All right. With no further comments, the meeting is adjourned.